In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. I read an article in USA Today I found interesting in a sad sort of way. Americans drove almost 20% fewer miles in 2020 than the previous year, 2019. That's not the sad part. That was mostly due to the pandemic, obviously, with the shutdowns, with people working from home, with curtailing vacations. There was nearly 20% fewer miles driven last year than in 2019. Now, with a nearly 20% drop in miles driven, authorities expected to see a corresponding drop in auto fatalities. But that did not happen. In fact, not only did fatalities not drop, they actually increased 9% over previous years. In 2020, that means 3,700 additional deaths happened than in 2019. What happened? Well, it turns out, after some study was done, a certain percentage of drivers stopped obeying traffic laws. See, an urban legend went out that police were not pulling people over due to COVID, and a certain percentage of the population responded by driving recklessly. Fact, red light runners doubled in 2020 from 2019. Doubled. The number of citations and arrests for going over 100 miles an hour quadrupled in 2020 from 2019. Without fear of punishment, whether that was accurate or not, because clearly citations were going out and arrests were being made, but without fear of the punishment, a certain percentage of drivers let loose, and with devastating results. 3,700 of our fellow Americans are now deceased because some people lost their fear of punishment. Now, I share this information not just so you're attentive at the wheel. I share this information because it reflects something St. Theophylact wrote about our gospel story today. He said, humans operate on three basic levels to do good. He said, we have three basic motivations. The lowest level of motivation is this fear of punishment. St. Theophylact calls this the motivation of the slave. This person has no investment whatsoever in what they're doing. They have no investment in doing good for its own sake, but they only do good out of fear of punishment, like drivers who only obey the law for fear of getting caught. And he says, now God will accept the good works of those who operate on the slave level, but that's not what he wants. I mean, as soon as the threat of punishment is withdrawn, what becomes of these people? God does not want slaves, but something better and more durable. A slightly more noble motivation than fear of punishment, St. Theophylact says, is a hope of reward. Other people's motivation is not so much a fear of punishment, but a hope for something good, a hope of a reward. This, he says, is the motivation of the hired servant, of the employee. This person is more motivated than the slave who just fears punishment. This person does good in hopes of getting something out of it, a salary, a reward, praise, social status, a future seat in the kingdom of heaven, whatever it might be that that person finds rewarding. And the servant can be quite faithful and quite loyal so long as the promise of the reward is out there. We see this motivation in the prodigal son story with that older brother. He's out in the field, he works diligently, but when the moment of truth comes, we finally see his true colors. He's actually nothing like his father. He has no compassion. He has no mercy. He has no love for sinners. All he wanted to know was, where's my party? Where's my fatted calf? Where's my reward? But even with such lesser motivations, the father still accepts his good works. To the older son, even while the father calls him to a higher mind and calls him to a softer heart, he still says, yes, you've been faithful and everything I have is yours. In other words, in spite of what you're lacking as a son, you still get You still get what a servant has coming. But God doesn't want servants of us any more than he wants slaves. He'll accept us at that level if that's all we've got. And oftentimes, and maybe most times, we have to start there before we spiritually mature. But in the end, God doesn't want us as servants, and he certainly doesn't want us as slaves. God wants us as sons and daughters and friends. Shortly before his crucifixion, Jesus told his disciples, he said, "No longer do I call you servants." See, he's calling them to grow out of that. "No longer do I call you servants." A servant doesn't know what his master wants. He or she only knows the reward. But the friend knows and wants and does what God wants. Because they are kindred spirits, because they share the same values, because doing good comes from a place of love, it comes from a place inside. That's what the friend of God does. There's a fellow in our community named Gordy Weber. He's worked at the Clear Lake Food Pantry for over 20 years. Very mild-mannered, very soft-spoken, kind fella. He's worked at the food pantry over 20 years as a volunteer, as a board member, and for many years as its director. He has put in literally thousands of hours helping to ensure that the needy of Clayton and Clear Lake area have enough food to eat. Now, he doesn't do this out of fear of punishment. That's not his motive. He's not, playing the role of some first century slave. There's not a penny of pay in it for him. There's no prestige. There's no power, there's no social status to be gained, so he's not doing this as a hired servant either. Why is he doing this? Gordy does this because he believes in it. Gordy does this because the highest motive is neither fear of punishment nor hope of reward, but the highest motive is love. The highest motive is what comes from inside. The highest motive is a belief in what we're doing, and when that belief matches what God is, who God is. When our motive is love, and when our inner desire lines up with God's desire for us, because we believe in it and because there's no outside reason, then we are truly God's sons and daughters. And then we are truly a friend of Jesus Christ. Now, in today's gospel, the story of the Last Judgment, the story when Christ assembles all of humanity and reveals what each person has done, or what each person has failed to do. What matters most is service to one's neighbor and service to stranger. Did you feed the hungry? Did you clothe the naked, the cold? Did you visit and welcome the imprisoned and the lonely and the stranger? And notice Jesus doesn't say, "Did you think about feeding the hungry or clothing the naked?" He said, "Are you actually doing it?" And remember, these needs can be both physical and spiritual. A person can be hungry or thirsty for literal food and water, but can also hunger for companionship, the hope of the gospel, the healing of the soul. A person can lack clothes or blanket for the cold, or they may have some old pain or shame that they need help covering and healing from. Now, if you serve neighbor because you're afraid of God's judgment, or if you visit the sick in hope of some reward, that's fine. That's fine. The good is still getting done, and God will accept those good deeds because they do indeed help, and they do indeed do his will in this world. But if you pay attention to the gospel, that's not where God wants you to end up. That's not what he really wants. Now, here's one clue. When Jesus says to the righteous about their reward, did you hear what he said? He said, "Come inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you. Come inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Inherit is not a word for slaves. Inherit is not a word for hired servants. Only sons and daughters inherit. Maybe a close friend inherits. The kingdom of God is made for those who have a heart in line with God's and have become his sons and daughters and friends. And then look at the people who are saved. When Jesus invites them in, they don't even find themselves worthy. They're not lined up for a payday. They're befuddled by this invitation. They're not saying, "Yeah, we deserve that. Now, yeah, give us our wage now." They say, when? When did we find you hungry and feed you? When did we find you naked and clothe you? I don't remember finding you a stranger or in prison and visiting you. Now, if you're working for a reward, you're going to keep track. These people weren't keeping track. They didn't even know that it had happened. They were serving because it simply was who they were inside. They had a heart that beat with God's. Now, like motorists who don't care about other vehicles or pedestrians and only obey laws out of fear of getting caught, there will always be those types that do good simply because they fear punishment. They fear God's judgment someday coming. Now, like the older brother in the prodigal son story, some will serve only in hope of a reward. When is my party? And you know what? God will still accept those good deeds because good deeds are getting done. But to those who serve neighbor and to those who do good in this world simply because you believe in it or simply because your heart beats with God's heart, to you, God says, inherit. Inherit the kingdom of heaven since you have shown yourself to be a son and daughter. And to you, God says, no longer do I call you servant, but you have shown yourself to be a friend. Amen.